As long as you can communicate, yes. Like you were saying. But communication is very, very cheap and is usually one of the last things that's relied upon. At least that's what I find in my journey throughout life here. Probably one of the least things used, but it's one of the cheapest things we have at our disposal is communication. And it's gotten much, much worse with the invention of the cell phone, because nobody knows how to communicate anymore. We're going back to pictographs where you draw pictures. So I don't know. It's like we're devolving instead of evolving.
You could point there, and I think a very wise observation. Yeah. Well, I'm stuck with my predisposition. I think language is paramount. Our species was, well, it's obvious from the records that we left behind, we were a violent bunch of folks, and survival was, you know, we became the apex predator. We were preyed upon by practically everything. A lot of things were a lot bigger, and we were food source. But we got smarter. And smarter is better. It makes a little thing difficult to catch, difficult to break through the barriers that have been put in place, you know. But anyway, we are now the top predator on this planet. We can have it our way. We found ways to do that. Take land and reshape it. Take materials and reshape it into anything that suits us. The homes that we build around us to keep us dry and to keep us contained in a bubble of air conditioning and heating when that's necessary. But the first thing that was required was communicating with other people. Very first thing, to be understood by someone else, to get someone else's ideas, perhaps, or to get their help to accomplish something, for sure. Yeah. And I do think you're right, though. It's become less and less important for people to be able to carry on a conversation. I mean, I've talked with some extremely well-educated people who have educated beyond the levels that I was able to afford for myself. You know, I have an associate's degree or two associate's degrees and a bachelor's degree. But that's it. Never got a master's, never got a doctorate. But I came to understand, just in that much higher education, I came to understand the importance of language. Every science has a particular language. Just take botany. If you don't know Latin, you will learn Latin because everything's botanical name is written in Latin. Oh, well, anyway. I came to this, I don't know, Patrick, I may have mentioned this to you before. If I have, I apologize. But I had a speech impediment very early before school. I stuttered terribly. I could not get a word out before saying it 15 times. I embarrassed my parents. I know I did. I don't remember exactly how disappointed they were. Fortunately, I don't remember those things. But I know they were. You just have to know they were. And I got help. They employed a housekeeper who was so patient with me and taught me the alphabet and taught me words before I ever went to school. I knew the alphabet and a lot of words before kindergarten. So schooling was, there was, you know, I got a head start there. But also this helped slow my thinking down, which was, it was just running away. My thinking was getting ahead of my language skills. And then I got trip up on it, you know. I trip up and I trip up. And it was just awful. I do remember, and if you have that kind of experience in your past, you will always be affected by it. And I think I'm fortunate that I have a good effect as a recovering stutterer. KK4JBQ.
For HKX. Yeah, Larry, we all have something that we struggle with or that has caused us problems in our past. And we all like to hide it. We all, very few of us like to admit it, bring it out, and learn from it. It's a shame we don't feel like we can share our experiences because somebody don't want to talk about it, so we'll be embarrassed or whatever it is. I find that so unfortunate that you can't share. Or, you know, because of what they might think about you. Because there's so much we can learn from that. And I don't know, I find it disappointing, I guess, in the way we are. But, I mean, that's the way the flesh is. It just is weak.
That's a very clear way to put it. Something popped into my mind, something that you said about the topic of conversation here. Made me think about my little sister. I was 13 years older when she came into the world. I was the one who fed her, burped her, changed her diapers, put her to sleep. And to a great extent, taught her language. Help her speak. I'm having a little trouble talking about her because she's gone now, and that's hard to, you know, to push past that. And also to realize this conversation has helped me see something that was always right there in plain sight, but she and I couldn't talk to one another. She didn't have the difficulty that I had in speaking, so she didn't have the challenge to overcome. And she didn't make the effort that I had to make. So language and speech wasn't difficult for her to say, but it was difficult for her to express. It was all going on in her head, perhaps, but she couldn't get it out into words. And I met some very intelligent people who are only intelligent if they're talking about something that they're, you know, that's related to work, because that's what they're dealing with most of the day. And even though we're challenged to, you know, incorporate other things into our lives. Just pick any topic, but, you know, just recently, and I think it's because of what's going on in the world, I've taken a serious look at Judaism. What is that all about? And how is that group of people responsible for you know, the religion that I was brought up in. Of course it was. And where did the branching take place for the many, many denominations of Christianity that there are? And then, too, what's the difference between Buddhism and Christianity? There's a world of difference, very basic world of difference. How do you talk about those things? Think about those different levels of human existence. Well, I'm talking about the experiences of billions of people. Just in the concept of those two religions, or three, I guess I mentioned three. And then how did it all split up into the terrible splinter that we, if you could take religion and look at it like a stick, you know, it would be like exploded on the end, right? It's in so many different pieces. As time moved along, it's branched out into so many things. That's a curiosity to me, you know? And I think it's because of how I came into religion. My family didn't give it to me. They had their reasons. But I had to explore on my own and seek out the truth for myself. KK4JBQ.
Right there with you. I was not raised in church. By the time I was 18 years old, I may have been to church maybe five times. Didn't go till I met my wife, and that was the summer of 93. So I'm right there with you on that one. I've had to embrace that on my own and learn from it and the people around me. And then you struggle with going back and dealing with your family that wasn't that way, and it's a real point of contention. There can be, anyway.
I know exactly how you feel about that. I did a bit of traveling after high school, actually. It was almost 40 years after high school that I went to college. And it was all, well, I guess I can go back a little further for one point of interest. My mother graduated from elementary school, and my dad went to the third grade. Neither of them had ever known what high school was like. They both had good lives, and they both dealt well with the world that they grew up in. But I was growing up in a different world, a generation different world. And the demands were going to be different. I knew this. I could sense it. But they couldn't give me any guidance whatsoever. It had been clear in my elementary school years that education was nothing to them. It meant nothing to them. And so they were compelled. You know, if you look at our educational system as it developed here in the United States, it became compulsory to educate your children. You had to send them to school. You know, you just don't get by that. And when my mother and father were coming up, it was optional. You know, they both worked on the farm in large families. So for my mother, it was taking care of all the younger children. For my dad, it was getting out there and working in the field rather than go to school. So I get that. I understand that, and I feel so fortunate for having been afforded a different experience. Folks who have grown up in generational, well-educated families cannot grasp that. And those who have grown up in the church cannot grasp what it's like to be required to undergo baptism. I put it that way for a reason. Without knowing what that is, what that's for, why, that's what happened. Now, fortunately, my belief is that it worked anyway. Because who's doing the work there? My grandfather was the minister who put me under the water. But what took place there was not my grandfather's work. And the work was done anyway, whether I knew what I was doing or not. I believe Scripture bears that out. We can be saved from the worst despite ourselves. KK4JBQ.
For HGX. Yeah, and thankfully so on that one. And Larry, while you were talking there, I'm sitting here in front of my computer and I pulled up a book you may want, that you may find interesting. It's not a very big book, but you can read it online. That's what I was trying to see, because I used to have it as a pamphlet form. It's called The Trail of Blood by Dr. J.M. Carroll. You may find it very interesting. It's about the history of Christianity. You may find that very interesting.
Yeah, the more you attempt to look deep as you can get with the remnant of reality that's been able to be recorded by other human beings before us. The more you read, you kind of understand that it's no mystery why it's a mystery. Really. I do think that, and I don't say this without a little bit of knowledge, you see. When I left home, I went on a search, not just to find a church home, but to find a church, to understand religions from, you know, a human perspective. I can only qualify as being human. So I went to all kinds of churches and saw all kinds of belief systems being worked out. I'm thankful to have the background that I do. I really am. But I'm searching for a truth for me. A truth as I can ferret it out. That's my job. I think all of us, if we took that on and not just take what we can easily pick up or what's laid upon us, if we search it out, I think we'll find no truer meaning, perhaps, but a deeper meaning for ourselves and a deeper belief system. I know that I won't name churches, but I think this was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I came across a group of folks, and I'll try my best not to identify them. A group of folks who I really liked. I really did. I attended a couple of their services. I developed friendships, and I wanted to join the church. Well, so, you know, I thought I'd made a good decision. So I was asked to come talk with some elders. And, you know, right up front, they told me I'd had to be rebaptized in their church. And I could not wiggle out of that. I just could not. It was a stop for me. Stop. Consider what was done. And consider who did that. They thought that perhaps it was because my grandfather held me as he put me under the water. But I asked them straight to their faces. I said, who did the work there? Was it my grandfather? I don't think so. And that put an end to the whole matter. They left disappointed, but I left reassured that my concept of what that act is was the correct one. KK4JBQ.
Larry, unfortunately, there are churches out there that way still today. And I don't know. I'm under the believing if it's done once by him, it's done right, because we have nothing to do with it. Therefore, we cannot undo it. And there's no need to do it again. I don't know. I don't get that. Don't understand exactly where it comes from, but I know it is a fairly prevalent belief.
Be that as it may, and you're right. They have a desire to make you into a certain being of a certain kind. You know, have qualifications. You know, maybe that's it. You know, we walk as adults. We walk through this world, and if you achieve any status among human beings, you have gained some qualifications, degrees, or you passed proficiency tests. You have a certain type of license. You know what I'm talking about. You know, and we're accustomed to that. They won't let you drive a car without taking a test. You know, that's a good thing. But you can carry a thing too far, and you can take something as basic as the changing that takes place, and the mystery that is, and how it's done. Don't misunderstand me. I know why it's done, but the thing that is done is an amazement. On this side of things, I will never understand how it's done. But I know who does it, and I know that the spirit that was in me and that remains in me was a gift, and it remains, not to be done over again. I'll argue with that with anybody. But that's just the beginning, isn't it? And so I've gone to many other churches and sat and listened to, you know, what can amount to good thoughts, good explanations for things, perhaps. But you also get an ear full of dogma and a whole bunch of rules, and how it was and how it will be if you join us, how it will be with you. It's a road everybody has to walk. It's like that song. Maybe I know you know this song. You've got to walk that lonesome valley. You've got to walk it by yourself. Ain't nobody else going to walk it for you. Yeah, you have to walk it by yourself. You know that song?
I don't recall it right off, but that don't mean anything. It's getting late, and I'm getting tired. I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning. But, so Larry, I'm going to have to call it a night tonight and get out of here and get ready for some shut-eye. But it's been a pleasure talking to you. But I don't recognize that song right off.
You have to walk that lonesome valley. That's the only way I could look it up. I've never had occasion to look it up. It's something from my youth, which is before your youth. If you don't recognize it, it's a good little song. It's kind of a country song. It's not a hymn or anything like that. But it's kind of right after we we're in this queue. So thank you for coming back to me and for sticking in there with me for a little while. You've had a different day with different demands. I could sit here and talk all night, and I'm not terribly proud of that. And I get mismatched with others who put in more effort during a day. And I just thank you. I thank you for hanging in there with me. You and yours, have a good day tomorrow. This is KK4JBQ. I'm clear with you.
Good to talk to you. It's always a pleasure. And I pulled that song up. I'm listening to it right now. I don't know if you can hear it in the background, but I'll take and check it out, and maybe we can talk about it another night. But good to talk to you. KO4HK, and I'll be clear on your final. 7-3.
Steve Patrick. 7-3. KK4JPQ. I'm clear.